kingdom of God. Someone say kingdom of God. We're going to be discovering the kingdom of God together as a church family, as a body of Christ. And I want to encourage you to end this year strong by being in the house of the Lord every Sunday in December. I really want to encourage you because the transformational information that we're going to be giving is going to be overlapping Sundays. And so if you miss something, you'll be missing a lot of vital information from the Word of God. I want to suggest to you this afternoon that the kingdom of God is the most important thing you will ever learn in your life. I want to suggest that to you. I want to help you to grasp that, how important the kingdom of God is, why we want you here learning and discovering what the kingdom of God is. It is the most important thing that you will ever learn in your entire life. I want to show you how Jesus framed the importance of the kingdom of God. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to put it on the screen. But look what Jesus says about discovering the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one very precious pearl, he went away and sold all he had and bought it. I want you to notice how Jesus compares the kingdom of God as to a pearl. Now, in the days of Jesus, pearls were invaluable, priceless jewels. And he talks about how the merchant is, he has to search for the pearl. He has to dig for the pearl. He has to pursue the pearl. In other words, you're not going to just stumble upon the kingdom of God. You got to look for the kingdom of God. You got to search for the kingdom of God. And he says it's so powerful that it's likened unto a valuable, precious pearl that when that merchant or that businessman or that individual finds the pearl, he goes back to all his possessions and he sells everything in order to possess the pearl. Goes back to his home and he sells his home. He sells his furniture. He sells his car. Everything in his life he gives up. That's the principle here. He gives up everything in his life in order to take hold of the kingdom of God. I want you to understand that the kingdom of God is the most important thing that you will ever learn in your life. That's how valuable what we're going to be teaching is. A man by the name of E. Stanley Jones said about the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is God's total answer to man's total need. Write that down. The kingdom of God is God's total answer to man's total need. How many believe that Jesus is the answer? Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus is the answer. Anybody believe that? I believe that. My question to you is to take the next step and to think about, what does the answer say the answer is? What does the answer say the answer is? If Jesus is the answer, then what does the answer say that the answer is? When you study the life of Jesus, you will conclude that the answer says the answer is the kingdom of God. Jesus pointed to the kingdom of God when it dealt with all the needs of mankind. Everywhere he went, he spent 3 years teaching about the kingdom of God. And when he died and resurrected, before he ascended to the Father in heaven, the Bible says he sat down with the disciples again, and guess what he taught them again? The kingdom of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he pulled a sermon out of everything and taught about the kingdom of God. He was walking down the street one day. He said, look at that. He said, man, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. Someone mentioned a party one time, and he said, you know what? The kingdom of God is like a party. I knew that would wake up some of y'all. But he said that. He said, the kingdom of God is like a big, big party. And so what we're going to be learning is the most important thing that you're going to be come across in your entire life. Now, my prayer is, as we discover the kingdom of God together, my prayer is that our confidence in who we are as sons and daughters of God will grow exponentially. That's my prayer. That as you discover the kingdom of God, your confidence in who you are as sons and daughters of the King will grow exponentially. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you're going to need some Holy Ghost confidence in 2018. You're going to need something different than what money gives you in order to whoop on 2018. You're going to need some Holy Ghost, divine, heaven-sent confidence to whoop on 2018. And listen, I believe that for some of you, 2018 is going to be the first year you whoop on in a long time. I like that word, whoop. I believe that some of y'all, you ain't whooped on a year in a long, long time. You can't even remember the last year you whooped on. Every year has beat you up. But if you, when you learn and you discover the kingdom of God and who you are as a citizen of the kingdom of God, it will give you some Holy Ghost confidence that you will jump on 2018. And that's my prayer. My prayer is also we will discover our purpose. As we discover the kingdom of God, my prayer is that we will discover our purpose. Why are you still alive? Have you ever thought about that? Why are you still alive? Some of y'all have been through hell and high water. You know you ain't supposed to be here. You know you ain't supposed to be in your right mind. As much trauma and drama and whatever you've been through, but somehow you survived and you came to church today to praise God. Somehow you overcame and you came to church to praise God. And as you discover the kingdom, you will discover your purpose in life, why you're alive. Man, if some of you ever discover why you're alive, and I'm praying as we study this together, that for some of y'all, a light bulb will pop up in your mind. Bing! And I'm going to see it. I'm going to look for it. Bing! I just discovered my why. I just discovered my why. Why am I still alive? That's my prayer. My third prayer, as we discover the kingdom of God together, is that you will join heaven's revolution. That's my prayer, that when you discover the kingdom of God and you understand why Jesus was really born, that you will join heaven's revolution. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Christmas is not about Christmas trees. Christmas is not about Christmas trees. Christmas is not about gifts. Christmas is not about the Lakewood Mall. Hello, somebody. Christmas is not about a holiday season. I submit to you that Christmas is about the greatest revolution that ever happened in the history of mankind. The birth of Jesus is about the greatest revolution that ever happened in the history of mankind. Jesus was born to set us free from POW status. You know what POW is? That means prisoner of war. All of us, apart from Jesus, were POWs. And so the big idea for this next month that we're constantly going to refer back to, and to make sure you write this down, this is our big idea. I'm going to put it on the screen. Jesus' birth started heaven's revolution against the kingdom of darkness on earth and reintroduce the kingdom of God. That's our big idea. I want you to write that down. We're going to constantly refer to that. We're going to burn this in your spirit. You're never going to look at Christmas the same. You're never going to look at Christmas the same because you're going to realize what Christmas is really about. And it's not about a Christmas tree. It's not about gifts. It's not about a holiday season. It is about a revolution. that Jesus started with his birth. And it's heaven's revolution against the kingdom of darkness. The birth of Jesus was heaven's special ops mission, where he came down to set us free. Are you following along? Now, the word revolution itself, the word revolution means a turnaround. A turnaround. Anybody need a turnaround in their life? I didn't say turned up. Yeah, I didn't got to clarify that. I didn't say turned up. I just said turn around. Some of y'all been going the wrong direction. And you need Jesus to turn some things around in your life. That's a revolution. A revolution means a fundamental change in power. Some of y'all need to live underneath new management. You got the wrong managers over your life. Remember that song back in the days? Love under new management. Don't backslide now. But you need a fundamental change in power over your life. You'll be hanging around with the wrong one. That's what a revolution is. Revolution means, the word revolution itself means a sudden, radical, and complete change. A sudden, someone say sudden. It's a sudden and radical and complete change. That's what a revolution is. Now, I believe that transformation is a process, and I understand that it takes time to change. I teach that. I believe that. But I also believe that there is some old school power in the Holy Ghost that can change you in an instant, in a moment, in a flash of an eye. I believe you can come down to this altar and the Holy Ghost can set you free from 20 years of methamphetamines. I believe the Holy Ghost can change you in a moment, in a flash, from 20 years of failure. 20 years of depression, 20 years of low self-esteem. I believe that in a lot of instances, you don't need to go to counseling. You need to go to the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't minimize counseling. We need biblical counseling, so don't get me wrong. But I believe in that old-time Holy Ghost power, that if you really, really submit your heart to Christ and you surrender, that he can create a revolution in your heart and flip some things upside down. Get you walking right, get you acting right, get you eating right, get you looking right, get you talking right, get you smelling right. I don't know why I threw that in there. We need a revolution. This world needs a revolution. And the way that we're going to get a revolution is we start looking at Christmas right. Now, I'm going to challenge your view of Jesus today, because I want you to stop thinking of Jesus as this frail, skinny, long hair, blonde hair guy. Not that anything's wrong with that, but that's not Jesus. I want you, and I'm going to develop this a little bit as I go. I need you to start looking at Jesus, start viewing Jesus as a spiritual Rambo. That'll sink in later. Just marinate on that. I need you to stop looking at Jesus the way the world looks at Jesus. Look at Jesus as the way the Bible describes Jesus. And when you look at Jesus through the eyes of this Christmas revolution, you're going to look at him as a spiritual Rambo that came to set the POWs free. So that's our big idea, because we need to understand that Jesus' birth was heaven's rescue mission. Jesus' birth was heaven's rescue mission for mankind. Now, let me show you a verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at what Colossians 1 says. It says, for he has rescued us, someone say rescued, from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, someone say transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Look what the birth of Jesus does. It rescues us. It transfers us. It rescues us. It transfers us. I want to give you the definitions of what they mean. I'm going to put it up on the screen. The word rescue means to drag a person out of battle. Look at what Jesus does for you and I. I love Jesus because he's not afraid to cross the enemy lines for you and I. He saw us. When you get dragged out of battle, the implication is you've been hit to the ground. The implication is you're laying on the ground. And Jesus loves you enough to cross the battle lines and to drag you. Look at, he doesn't play patty cake with you and say, oh, it's time for you to come to church. No, it's time for you to go to Bible study. No, some of y'all ain't listening to that. There are some instances, and I say many instances, where he just drags us. Sometimes he got to pull us by the hair because sometimes it ain't time to look pretty. He just drags us. Sometimes he pulls us by the feet and just drags us. Thank God for dragging us out of the battle. Dragging us out of getting beat up. Jesus' birth rescued us. And then the Bible says he transferred us. It means to be settled. To be settled. You need to acclimate to the kingdom of God. You need to learn the ways of the kingdom of God. You need to settle yourself, plant yourself in the kingdom of God. The reason why some of y'all ain't getting the full manifestation of the victory in your life is because you never settled. You keep roaming, keep moving. You get excited over something, and after 3 months, you're gone to the next thing. Jesus doesn't want to just rescue you. He wants to settle you into the kingdom of God. So, my brothers and sisters, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to spend the rest of my time defining what the kingdom of God is. I want you to walk away today with an understanding of what the kingdom of God is. I put together a working definition for you that I think that we could all grasp. And I'm going to put it on the screen. But this is what the kingdom of God is. It's God's order, someone say order, God's rule, someone say rule, and God's presence, someone say presence, manifested on earth. I need you to write that down. I want you to memorize this. I want to challenge you to memorize this. Post it on Facebook, not right now, listen, but later on. This is the kingdom of God. It is God's order, God's rule, and God's presence manifested on earth. When you got God's rule manifested, that's the kingdom of God. When you got God's order come into being in your life, that's the kingdom of God. When you got God's presence show up with you and in you, that's the presence of God. It's God's order, God's rule, and God's presence manifested on earth. I put this definition together as a gift for you to help you have some handles on what the kingdom of God is. And I'm going to spend the rest of my time today breaking this down, really dissecting it, putting it up underneath a microscope. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 14, when everybody's there, say amen. Chapter 11, verse 14, and I'm going to read it and come back. Ready? Chapter 11, verse 14. Reads like this. And I'm reading now the NIV version. It says, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Has Jesus done anything amazing in your life? All right. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, a prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Now, what's interesting is Beelzebub was the Philistine god of, it literally means that he was the lord of the dunghill. The lord of the dunghill. Now, I ain't got to give you the LBC translation on that, right? You know what that means. But what I want you to get is how Jesus does something good to a man's life, and immediately the religious folk start to smut him up. Have you ever done good and somebody start to smut you up? You in good hands. You in good company. Because they did the same with Jesus. But they really started tripping out. They called him Beelzebub. When I say that name, I think of Beetlejuice for some reason. Verse 17, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, how many know that Jesus knows you? You know what I love about Jesus? Is that he knows us, yet he loves us. More of you should have said amen to that, I'm telling you. Let me break it down like this. Jesus knows our wickedness, yet he still loves us. He knows our brokenness, yet he still loves us. He knows that some of us were, I hope you were, scandalous, and yet he still loves us. He knows us, yet he still accepts us, and he still loves us. Somebody got to say praise the Lord for that. So it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? How many know that the devil has a kingdom? How many know that the devil has a kingdom? Listen, if you you don't even understand what the fierceness of the fight is about. That you have the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light colliding over your destiny. Colliding, not just you. I'm talking about your whole genealogy. I'm talking about your whole, there's a reason why your dad was an alcoholic, your grandpa was an alcoholic, and your great-grandpa was an alcoholic. They didn't just stumble upon that. That was the kingdom of darkness trying to take over your family. Jesus says, I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Verse 19. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do you follow, your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. Verse 20. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, and then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides the spoils up. Verse 23 is the last verse. It says, and he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Boy, Jesus doesn't mess around. There's no neutrality in the kingdom of God. You're either for God or you against God. There's no in between. You're either hot or you're cold. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to spend the time setting this up, doing some foundational work, and defining for you what the kingdom of God is. And our definition of God's order, God's rule, and God's presence when manifested on the earth, let's dive into that and what that means. And the first one is God's order. Someone say God's order. Now look at verse 11 or verse 14. It says, and Jesus was casting out a demon. Notice it says casting out. It doesn't say counseling out. Did you catch that? Now, don't misunderstand me. I got to say this. We believe in biblical counseling. We have counselors, a part of our pastoral staff. Some of y'all need counseling, but some of y'all need some casting. Woo, that's a word right there. You can't cast out or counsel out what you need to cast out. And it says, and Jesus was casting out a demon. I want you to get this picture in your mind that this man was demon-possessed. The demon was controlling his life. In the original language of the text, it suggests that the man was insane because of the demonic oppression and possession. He was insane. I suggest to you that his life was out of control, that it was out of order because of this demon. Now follow along. The demon ran this man's life out of order. In Mark chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it, but it gives another similar example of a man who was demon-possessed and out of control. And it describes how his life went. Listen to what it says in verse 3 and 4. It says, he lived among the tombs and no one could restrain him any longer, not even with a chain. Like they tried to bind him up and they could not bind him up because the man's life was out of order. It was out of control. It was lascivious. It was whatever the tongue wanted, the tongue did. Whatever the body wanted, the body did. It was out of control. It was out of order. Now, I suggest to you that in both these scenarios, in Luke chapter 11 and Luke and Mark chapter 5, that Jesus brought God's divine order back into their lives. I suggest to you that Jesus brought divine order back into their lives when he brought the kingdom into their life. I suggest to you that after Jesus was done bringing the kingdom into their lives, that they could finally, after years, who knows how long it was, but they could finally go back and be a husband to their wife. They can be a father to their children. They can be a leader in the community. They can get a job. Hello, somebody. Jesus brought order to their lives. That's what I suggest to you. God has a divine order in his kingdom. He has a divine order in his kingdom. And I love what 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25 says. I'm going to put it on the screen. But this was a time when the children of Israel were transitioning from being roamers and wandering around the desert to becoming a nation of their own. God was transitioning them from being wanderers and roamers to be a kingdom. And notice what the prophet Samuel first says to them. It says that Samuel told the people the what? The ordinances of the kingdom and wrote them in a book. The first thing that Samuel does says, listen, you're coming upon the kingdom. You're about to be a kingdom, right? You got a king. But the first thing that you need to understand is that there is some order in the kingdom. There's some ordinance in the kingdom. And let me teach you the order of the kingdom. That's what Samuel basically says. Now, I want to remind us today that God has an order for our marriage. That God has an order for the way we raise kids. That God has an order for our relationships. If some of y'all would just follow the order of God, you will cut your stress level out by 80%. That God has an order for everything in this world, and this world is chaotic and out of order. But when we bring God's order to a situation, we're bringing God's kingdom to a situation. Are you following along? Now, can we talk like family for a moment? The reason why a lot of us have been stuck is because we've been out of order. The reason why a lot of us have been stuck is because we've been trying to do things out of order. And anything that is out of order does not work. Anything that is out of order does not work. And I get frustrated when things don't work. I don't know about you, but I get frustrated. My son, Nathaniel, he's 8 years old. And I have a favorite video game that we play at the mall, Lakewood Mall. And my son will tell me, he tells me all the time, Daddy, let's go to the mall. Let's go to round one. And let's play the tank game because I want to destroy you. And I said, bro, you ain't going to be destroying me. And I'll tell him, come on, let's get in the truck. Let's go to the Lakewood Mall. We go to Lakewood Mall, and I have my own and one card, or round one card. I got my own one. It's gold. Not explained. But we'll go up into the arcade, and we'll be excited. We about to throw down on this tank game. And the tank game's all at the end of the arcade, so we have to walk from one side to the other side. And we're excited. We're going real fast. We get our card out. And we walk to the video game, and this has happened two or three times already. We're excited, and we look, and we turn over, and guess what? Out of order. You should hear my son. Man, you should hear me. I wonder if we bring the same frustration to God. I wonder if God looks over some of our lives and gets frustrated because we are committed to being out of order. I wonder how many people in the spiritual realm, if we would look at your life, that there would be a big white piece of paper with tape on it on your forehead that read, out of order. Anything that is out of order does not work. And the kingdom of God brings order to our life. The kingdom of God brings order to your family. The kingdom of God brings order to your marriage. When you bring God's order to a situation, you are bringing the kingdom down. When you bring God's order to a situation, you are bringing the kingdom down. Are you following along? This is what Jesus meant when he taught us the prayer, Lord God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let your order come. Let your order come. Now, I want to share with you again the story of Brother Jacob, and I'm going to put his picture up on the screen because we need to celebrate this story. This Brother Jacob, 7 months ago, he walked by Chapel of Change strung out on methamphetamines. 7 months ago, he walked by Chapel of Change out of order. His life was beat up, messed up, but somebody invited him in to Chapel of Change. The kingdom sucked him in, because you can't come near the kingdom without being sucked in. And the kingdom of God sucked him in, and the kingdom of God began to come to bear on his life. And 2 weeks ago, I look up, and I see a young brother with a suit on walking in the house of the Lord to praise the name of Jesus. Brother had a tie on. He was here this morning with a tie on, wanting to serve the Lord, looking strong, looking sharp, not looking beat up, not looking out of order. Because you know why? Jesus took the out of order sign off of his forehead. And that's what Jesus wants to do in our life. He wants to take that out of order sign off the... The kingdom of God brought order to that brother's life. What is the kingdom of God? Is God's order manifested. Secondly, what is the kingdom of God? It's God's rule manifested. Someone say God's rule. God's rule, it's his power manifested, his reign, his authority, God's sovereignty manifested. When you bring God's rule down on a situation, that's bringing the kingdom of God to bear on that situation. God's power, when you become a vessel of God's power, and the power of God lands in a marriage, or a power of God lands on a life, that's bringing the kingdom of God to the situation. Are you following along? Now, I want you to get this visual in your mind of Luke chapter 14 that we read. Jesus literally kicked the devil out of this man's life. I want you to get that picture. Jesus literally backhanded the devil, overpowered the demon, and body slammed him out of this man's life. The LBC translation, and I wrote it down, is that Jesus straight punked the demon. Straight punked him. I want you to get that in your mind. It starts off, Jesus was driving out a demon. One translation says driving out. Another translation says casting out. Didn't talk with him. How you doing today? How's it going over there in that house? No, I ain't got time for all that. Just straight jumped on him. Put him in a headlock. Body slammed him, slapped him. I want you to see this picture. I don't want you to see Jesus as no frail, scared individual. I want you to look at Jesus as a spiritual Rambo. Jesus kicked Jesus whooped the devil. Don't make me mess up in here. You ain't gonna catch me slipping. Jesus whooped the devil. Whooped him. That's my favorite word for today. Jesus, well, I can't wait to preach this message at our Carson campus at 5 p.m. If you ain't visited, make sure you go tonight. But Jesus whooped the devil in this man's life. Didn't play with him. Didn't shake his hand. Oh, by the way, this is a respect. No, this ain't nothing, no respect. Been ruining this guy's life. I got time to shake your hand. No, you got to go. I want you to see this. Now, verse 21 and 22 is a gift for us. Because what Jesus does is he pulls the cover on the spiritual realm. And he allows us to see what happened when Jesus whooped the devil in this man's life. Are you following along? Jesus in verse 21 and 22 gives us insight into what took place in this encounter between him and the demon. This is powerful. You need to get this. Because some of y'all don't even understand what the fight is about and how fierce it is over your, not just your life, but your whole family tree. Listen to what Jesus says. It's a gift. He takes us behind the scenes. Listen to what he says. He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house. This is Jesus talking. And he's describing the background. He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house. Who do you think the strong man in that context is? Who do you think the strong man is? It's not Jesus. It is the demon. It is the demon. Look how he describes the demon. He says the strong man, the demon, you got to get this, is fully armed, guarding his own house. Who do you think the house is in that context? It's you and I. It is you and I. In other words, the devil has a demon assigned, fully armed. Fully armed. Why do you think he is fully armed guarding you? You don't look that strong. You don't look that valuable in, you know, natural eyes. Why do you think the demon is, I don't even know what type of guns they got in the spiritual realm, but that dude is fully armed. And he's guarding you. And he got you as a pill apart from Jesus, apart from Jesus. He got us as spiritual POWs locked up in a cage. He's armed. And we say, oh, but I wanna go to church this morning. Shut up. I'm gonna do what I say to do. But I wanna do right this time. And he drags us around like dogs in a cage. That's why you do things you really don't want to do. That's POW status. But he's fully armed. I can't get that picture out of my mind. You know why he's fully armed? It's because he knows you got kingdom potential inside of you. You got the image of God. You are created in the image of God inside of you, and the devil don't want that to be loose. He doesn't want it to get loose because he knows if you ever get loose and realize who you are in the kingdom of God, you will be one bad mamma jamma. So he assigns a demon fully armed to guard him. You only guard something that is valuable. You only guard something that is powerful. You only guard something that is a threat. That's why the enemy's been fully armed. Don't want you to let loose. One of the reasons why when Jesus came and preached, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he goes, the kingdom of God is at hand. He goes, repent and believe. You know why he said believe? Because he knew some of us would be so comfortable in our dysfunction that we would not believe that freedom exists. Some of us, we get locked up in the cage for so long that when the kingdom of God and freedom comes to bear, we're like, what? I don't know nothing else but this dysfunction. And the enemy tricks us into staying in the cage. And the door is unlocked. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. He goes, believe, repent, and believe. Believe. Oh, you could be free. Yes, believe it. But we've been so entrenched in our dysfunction that we get used to it and we've learned to adapt to it. I get the picture. I don't know if you remember or not. Go back and read it. Go back and look at it. In Rambo, the movie of Rambo, when he goes into the POW camp at one time, he opens up the cage and he says, you're free, you're free. Guess what they do? They don't do nothing. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? And he literally had to pick one up. That's a picture of what Jesus does for us. Because we can't get out ourselves. And so, he says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house. I like the last phrase or the last half. It says, but when someone stronger, who you think that stronger person is? Who you think that stronger person is? Jesus. He says, but when someone stronger, get this now, attacks and overpowers him. Look what Jesus does for you and I. It says that Jesus, when he saw that demon on that man, Jesus didn't hesitate. He let off on him. Boom. He attacked him. Jesus attacked him, and he overpowered him. Knocked him down. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. What does it say? It says, and he takes away the armor in which the man trusted. Get this. This is what I get in my mind. This is what I get in my mind. The demon is down. Jesus got his foot over his neck. And Jesus is standing over him and says, you know, I'm not done with you yet. You know what? This is for 1985 when you did this to her. And this is for 1992 when you did this to him. And this is what 1993 when you did this to this. I ain't done with you yet. You're going to feel this. He takes away his armor. Some of y'all will get this later, but he takes his shoes away. Very few of you will get that. Jesus takes the shoes off of that demon. Says, and the last thing he says he divides his plunder. There's different implications to that, but what I love about this is that Jesus gives us back what the devil stole. He gives it back. You lost your peace, Jesus will give it back to you. You lost your joy, the kingdom of God will give it back to you. Whatever you lost, the kingdom of God will give you back even more significance. The kingdom of God. That's why the Bible teaches, that's why I shared with you that the kingdom of God is God's answer to man's every need. So the kingdom of God is God's rule manifested. Lastly, number three, is God's presence manifested. God's presence. Notice what Jesus says in verse 20. He says, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, someone say finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That term, finger of God, is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Matthew's, when it gives the same account, Jesus says that if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you, because those terms are synonymous. The finger of God is synonymous with the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is synonymous with the presence of God. So Jesus says, if the presence of God has come upon you, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Did you catch that? Jesus makes a connection between the presence of God and the kingdom of God. I want you to get that. Jesus makes a connection between the presence of God and the kingdom of God. Why? The presence of God brings the order of God. The presence of God brings the power of God. The presence of God brings the rule of God. If some of y'all would just create an environment where the presence of God is welcomed, God, the kingdom of God, will show up and show out. God is waiting for some of us to create an environment. Maybe it's the environment of your marriage. Maybe it's the environment of your family. If you create an environment that is welcoming to the presence of God, you will also get the kingdom of God. And so this is the challenge for us today. Are you creating these environments that are welcoming to the presence of God? Are you creating an environment at your work that is welcoming to the presence of God, a presence of God? Are you creating an environment in your home that is welcoming to the presence of God? My brothers and sisters, when God shows up, he shows out. One of the reasons why I think the Holy Spirit likes Chapel of Change, I know he likes Chapel of Change. I know he does, because he shows up here every day. But one of the reasons why I think the Holy Spirit likes Chapel of Change is because we create environments that are welcoming to the presence of God. When you welcome the presence of God, you get the kingdom of God. And if you get the kingdom of God, you get everything that is in the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, the birth of Jesus introduced the kingdom of God to us. And Jesus was the chief kingdom bringer. He brought the kingdom down in every scenario of his life. And our challenge, our mission, and our theme for 2018 as Chapel of Change, as a family of God, our mission in 2018 is to bring the kingdom down. That is our theme for 2018. Bring the kingdom down. We're going to pray. We're going to work. We're going to sacrifice towards that end. We want to see, we want to see what does it look like for the kingdom to come down? What does it look like for the kingdom to come down in our marriages, in our family? What does it look like for the kingdom of God to come down in the children's ministry, in the men's ministry? By the way, King's Men's is having our Christmas dinner this Friday night, and we bringing down the kingdom. That is our mission, is to bring the kingdom down. I challenge you and I encourage you, take this journey with us. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to just reflect upon the Word of God this afternoon. Just for a couple moments. What did God tell you, and how are you going to respond to it? What did God tell you, and how are you going to respond? Let's bow our heads and everybody remain seated in a spirit of reflection.